12, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Hopefully you've got a set of the notes for the message today as well. Acts 12 and verse number 1. I'd like to talk to you this morning about being alive. That's our theme in this series, alive and set free. Are you thankful you're free in Jesus today? I hope that you are. If not, follow the scriptures today and we'll see, we'll look at the freedom that only Jesus can bring. This is a powerful story and it begins with a very intense scene. Look at chapter 12, verse number 1 and notice the intensity of the account. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king." So we're going to be introduced to a few characters in this account this morning. The first one would be King Herod. Have we heard that name before? Have you heard that name before? King Herod. We'll talk about him in just a moment. "About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Now look at what happens in verse number 2. "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." I've always found that verse number 2 is, we can read over that very quickly. It's very brief and succinct, almost matter-of-factly. He says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Just a short little statement, but boy, there must be a lot of emotion tied up in that. If you know James and John, these are the first disciples of Jesus. If you can go back in the Gospels and you can read about Simon Peter and his brother, who's Peter's brother? Let's see, a little quick Bible trivia here. Andrew. They're fishers. They hear about Jesus. And what is one of the first things that they do is Peter and Andrew, and then there's James and John. They're another set of brothers. And they're telling each other about Jesus, and they all begin to follow Christ from the very beginning. That's when Jesus would tell them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Well, there's no grand climax here. There's no expectation. There is no building of the story. Just one day, Herod the king says, "Lock him up." And the next day, or shortly thereafter, he says, "Off with his head." And that's the end. But we know for a child of God, the last breath on earth is the end of nothing. It is the beginning of eternity in the presence of the Lord. And so we're going to talk about freedom, but I find it amazing. Peter is going to find himself in a physical prison and he's going to get set free. Well, James, his friend, found himself in a prison and he would not be physically set free. But I tell you what, he was never more free than when the king gave that sentence and he found himself in the presence of the Lord. And so that's just to set the theme today, we're speaking about true freedom in Christ. So we come to verse number 3. "And because he saw it pleased the Jews," that's Herod, "he proceeded further to take Peter also." So if you were a Christian then and your friend James was just put to death, and now your friend Peter, one of the leaders, one of the apostles, he's now been put in prison as well. And shortly after what just happened, your immediate thought is, well, this is it for Peter. It happened to James, and now Peter. But that wasn't God's plan. It says in the parentheses in verse number 3, "Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him," say it with me, "he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept," where? "In prison. But, prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." The apostle is locked up, but you cannot unlock the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot lock up the power of God's people in prayer, and that's what the church turns to as Peter's in prison. Well, we'll see what happens as the story unfolds. Let's have a word of prayer, ask the Lord's help. Father, we pray that you'd bless this preaching time. Help our hearts and minds to be focused on the Word of God. Help us to grow. Help us to be challenged. I thank you that we can be gathered together today. We need you. I need you. Our church needs you. So please go before me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll just take a minute. I've already spoken about James and John and Peter. Remember, we don't know exactly how much time has passed from the day of Pentecost. We don't know if we are, we know that we are at least 1 year later. We know it's at least 1 year after the crucifixion of Jesus. And how do we know that? Because it's the time, the setting here, it's the days of unleavened bread. So this time would have been a time of deep remembrance for the early church. Remember, they're not looking back into the distant past. They're looking back a year, maybe 2 years. They're looking back a very short period of time, and they remember the last time this holiday came around, the last time the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread took place, the last time Easter, and by the way, Passover in this passage is now called Easter, which was a pagan holiday, which was co-opted by the church because no longer is it pagan, but now it's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection has a tendency to change things in the world. And so we find the church at this time of significant meaning to them, and now they're facing, really, it seems like round two of what they went through the last time. In fact, Jesus had stood before Herod. Jesus had stood before Pontius Pilate. These rulers, these leaders of the day, they had great power. Herod is the grandson of the Herod that you know from the story of the birth of Jesus. You have Herod the Great, the wicked, wicked king. We believe this is the grandson of Herod the Great as you look at the chronology. He is also a very wicked person. In fact, if you know the stories of Herod, one of the things that the Bible tells us is that Herod and Pontius Pilate became buddies. Before a certain thing happened, they were enemies, but now Herod and Pontius Pilate, they're buddies. Why? Because they played a little game with Jesus, sending him back and forth between the two of them. These are corrupt politicians, corrupt rulers to the core. Herod is a wicked, wicked man. King Agrippa, that you'll read about later in the book of Acts, is actually the son of this Herod that we're reading about as well. Just interesting information, background on these people. The imagery that we see in this passage is a picture of prison. Now, I say imagery, we know that this account actually happened. We believe the word of God and that every word is true. But we also see some significant imagery in this passage that we also see all throughout the Bible. You don't have to be a deep theologian or a great Bible scholar to know that the theme of bondage and captivity and prison and chains and freedom, it has been in the Scriptures all throughout from the very beginning. We look back and we see Moses with the people who were in captivity, in slavery. And God would send the man, Moses, a figure, a picture of Christ, who would lead the people and bring them out of their bondage and give them freedom and liberty. Really a picture of Jesus who would come into a world where there are people, you and I, that are in the bondage of sin and the chains of condemnation. And Jesus came far greater than Moses or far greater than any human deliverer. Jesus would come and he would loose and break the bounds and chains of sin and would set his people free with true and lasting freedom. That imagery, that picture is all throughout the Scriptures, and we have another image of it here in this account of Peter imprisoned by King Herod. And it reminded me of that Scripture that we had on the screen consistently all morning long, and that's John chapter 8, verse number 36. Jesus came and he said this, John 8, verse 36. You have it on your handout. It's behind me right now. Let's read it together. Begin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We know that freedom is one of the deepest longings of the human heart. We know it. I'll make a few comments about that to try to back that up, but it's not just in the Bible. It's in our literature. It's in our movies. It's all around us. This idea of men and women looking for and longing to simply be free. It's in our history. The history of our nation was people yearning and longing to be free. In most cultures, in most societies, it hasn't always turned out so well as it has for us, but people have always had a desire and a longing to be free. But we need to understand this morning, first of all, Herod is really representative of the world system. Think about Herod. All the power that a person could ever want. All of the authority. All of the pleasure. All of the wealth. I mean, Herod really embodies the system of this world. And I'd like to give you a simple point this morning. Just like Herod came and he wrapped up Peter in chains and he threw him into prison, the truth is this, and this won't surprise many of you, but the truth is this, the system of this world brings bondage. The system of this world is a system of chains and bondage. You say, well, I don't want that to be true. Neither do I, but it is true. Think about it, actually. Just the fact is this, we know why that is. We know from the Bible why that is. From the Bible, we know that the system of the world is a system of control and bondage. You say, well, I don't know about that. Okay. Well, you try to defy the controlling laws of physics. Just try. Step to the top of the building and experience true freedom and take a step off the tower. And you'll find out very quickly that even nature itself is a system of control. Like, well, is that a stretch? No. Think about all of our fantasy writing and all of the movies and all of the stories that have been told for years. What of the greatest fairy tales and stories? C.S. Lewis talks a lot about this, and Tolkien talked about this. What have all of those stories been about? You're like, well, tell me, what have they all been about? They're not just about hobbits and wizards and the Lion, the Witch, and the What are they all about, these stories? You could go even to modern times, and you could think of all of the Disney. What are they about? They're about escaping the confines of reality. Peter Pan. The song, I Can What? What little boy or girl never had the imagination and the desire to do what? Did you, as a kid? Imagine that? Dream about it? I'm going to tell you, even the longings of our imaginations is to escape the bounds of physics or the bounds of space and time. We desire to travel in time. We desire to speak with beings that are supernatural or beyond us. Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, could we maybe suggest that because those are our experiences, we actually were created to enjoy? That there is a world to come beyond this world that we see? That there are angels? That there are powerful forces? That there is a God, there is a being that transcends time and transcends space. What I'm saying is all of these longings and desires, they are deeply embedded in who we are as people, but they are unfulfilled. They're just imaginations. They're beyond our reach. They're out there. Because even the natural world is bound by laws, principles, I am not truly free to pursue my greatest desires. And neither are you. None of us are. But in a worse case, the world system actually takes those desires. Now stay with me for a minute here. The world system actually takes those desires, those hungerings, those passions for something more. It takes those and uses them or manipulates them to bring us into greater bondage. You say, what do I mean by that? Well, first I need to give you what Jesus said to back this up. On your handout, I gave you John 8:31-36. We need to see this scripture. The whole context surrounding that, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Look at verse in John chapter 8. I have written on there verses 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? The truth shall make you free. Now, they had a problem with that statement. Just like someone in here may have a problem with that statement, or surely many on the outside would have a problem with that statement. You say, how could anybody be upset with what Jesus said? He said, you're going to know the truth. And when you know the truth is going to make you what? You're going to finally be, say it, free. Why would anybody have a problem with Jesus saying that? Because what is he saying? He's saying in your current condition, in the current way that you are, you're what? You're bound. You're in bondage. You're not free. And their instant reaction is, wait a minute. Our culture today would say the same thing. I could give this message and say, Jesus can set you free. And people will say, I don't need to be set free. I'm okay. I'm all right. In fact, look at what they said. For these people, they're going to call into their heritage. It says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're Jewish people. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou? Why would you say, ye shall be made free? They're offended by this. Can you imagine? Offended by freedom. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth what? Is the servant of sin. He said this, you think that you're free, but your sin has enslaved you. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He says, listen, you need to be made free from sin. You need to be made free from yourself. You need to be made free from your captivity. Sin brings bondage. Can I get a witness there? You've experienced it. We've all experienced it. That sin brings bondage, but and specific sins. Lying will bring you into bondage. You know how that works, don't you? You tell a lie, pretty soon you've got to tell five or six more just to stay in, and you're trapped in that circle. You step out of God's plan for sexuality and you get into illicit relationships, you'll find yourself in a cycle that brings you into bondage. You begin to engage in substance abuse and drunkenness and looking for a high, and you'll find yourself trapped in a cycle of bondage. But even beyond that, sin as a system, think of sin as this. Sin is the world's operating system apart from God. When we speak about sin, we're not just saying, "You, that's a bad thing there, that's a bad thing there, oh, you made a bad decision there." When we speak about sin, we're speaking about what Jesus is speaking about is the whole way that the world works when it's a world without God. After all, that's how sin originated. In the Garden of Eden, hey, eat of the fruit because then you won't need God because you will be God. That's the heart of sin and that's the heart of our bondage. For example, right now in our world, the world system, the sinful system says, hey, you will find freedom. And young people, listen closely because this is a message that's just pumped at youth and at young adults, you will find freedom if you just cast off all the expectations that people have for you. If you'll just let go of any traditional values and you just go out there and let it go. Let it go. If you'll just do that, then you'll experience true freedom. Except that kind of freedom simply leaves us to create our own prison all to ourselves. So now it's my job to decide who I want to be or what I should do or where I should go. And now I'm all on my own, and I am suddenly faced with the fact that, my goodness, I am incapable of making these kinds of decisions. I am incapable of knowing which way to go. And it will work for a while. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so the world says, if you want to find freedom, don't let anybody else tell you what your sex is. Don't let anybody else tell you what your gender is. Don't let anybody else tell you how you ought to live your life. You go out there and do it all on your own. And what happens? People go out and they create little prisons unique to themselves. Why? Because the world system is a system of bondage. Herod wanted to take the believer. Herod wanted to take the church, and he wanted to lock it up in a prison. That's what the world does. True freedom doesn't come from discovering yourself. True freedom comes from discovering your Creator and understanding who you were created to be. Not who you decide to be, but who were you created to be. And then yielding to our Creator. I put it this way, and so maybe we can just bring it down into practical speech. Some people in the world today say, you know what? I could never follow traditional Christian values. Are you with me? Do people have that attitude today? Yes or no? Of course. People say, well, if I were to save myself physically just for marriage, that would be like a prison to me. They'd say the reverse, right? They say, well, how dare you say to somebody that it's wrong? How dare you Christians say that homosexuality is wrong? It's a big topic today. How dare you Christians say that transgenderism is wrong? Just let people be free to do this or to do that. And some Christians fall for that thinking. And they say, well, you know what? I'm autonomous. I'm free. I'm going to live how I want to live. But wait a minute. Who would know what is best for human happiness and human flourishing? Who would know? The Creator. The Designer. The one who built into our hearts and built into our souls purpose and meaning. He would know. So as a Christian, I've come to understand that what James actually said, not this the James in the story, but another James, what he says is that when we look at the law of God, he calls it the perfect law of, does anybody know what it says? It's the perfect law of liberty. Why? Because when I look in here, boy, I'm free because I don't have to look at myself and try to come up with it on my own. I don't have to look to my parents and for them to plan out a perfect little life for me. I don't have to turn to a school or to a society or a teacher to plan out a little perfect life for me. But again, I also don't have to look to myself. I can look at the perfect law of liberty. I can understand who I was created to be, and I can yield myself as His servant. That's where Christian liberty comes from. That's the truth of Christian liberty. It's not an idea that I'm now free to do whatever I want. I am now free to enjoy the blessing of God and understand His purpose for my life. And for Peter, that purpose right now was for him to be in a prison cell. Nobody would have mapped that out for him. Nobody would have said, well, let's sit down, I'll be your life coach, and I'll give you 7 steps to happiness. First thing I want you to do is find yourself in prison. It's nobody's plan. But Peter's free. He's chained by Herod's chains. But can I share with you, his heart is free. His soul is free. You'll find Paul. I don't know how long it'll take us to get there, but we're going to get to the end of the book of Acts. And you're going to find the apostle Paul chained to 2 guards, one on either hand. And he's chained to them. And I bet you those 2 guys had never experienced anything like being chained to the apostle Paul. Who is this guy? What is with him? Peter has 4 quaternions of soldiers around him. You're like, how many is that? You don't know? Well, I looked it up. So four quaternions of soldiers, that is four times four. 16 men guarding this guy. Herod was smart. He knew he had somebody dangerous on his hands. Why? Because even in chains, Peter's free as anyone could be. Because he has Christ. He's free in Christ. You see, without Christ, what people do is they just exchange one set of chains for another set of chains. And they find freedom from this part of their life. Maybe people, and this happens all the time, people have an oppressive upbringing and they just want to get away from it. And they find freedom from their parents and from their upbringing only to now find a new set of chains that holds on to them. And we go from this master to that master, all the while it's Herod behind the scenes. It's the enemy. It's the devil. The God, the small g God of this world, keeping his system of control over people. There's a bondage in pleasure. People will seek out excitement or exhilaration to set us free from the mundane. Free me from the pressure and problems of life so the bottle will have just a little bit of freedom in it. Or the pills will have just a little bit of freedom in it. Or this relationship will give me a feeling of freedom. Only to find that the next time I have to look for a little bit stronger feeling. I thought of it this way. Have you ever seen a dog on a chain that doesn't know he's on a chain? It's not socially acceptable to put dogs on chains anymore. I understand that, okay? When I was a kid, apparently it was, or my family was just, they didn't care. My grandparents had these dogs. They just lived on chains. Anyway, some of you, I'll lose you for the whole message now because you're thinking about those poor dogs. But have you ever seen a dog on a chain that doesn't know he's on a chain? And I mean, he sees squirrel, and he's like, I am free! And he goes chasing after that squirrel, and I'm not going to act it out. You all know what happens at the end of that. The yelp comes out, and he realizes, whoa, I can't go any further. I'm telling you, listen, with all kindness, that is the culture that we live in. It's the culture that we live in. And some people have a longer chain or a shorter chain than others. And they go after a high, or they go after a relationship, or it could be something less severe, like a vacation or a pay raise, and they run, and they're like, yes, I finally got it, whoa! Jesus said that the Son, that's Him, He will make you free. That's where true freedom comes from. The world system is a system of bondage. We all want to be set free. If I could earn a little bit more money, I wouldn't have these worries and these cares. Then you get a little bit more money and you're like, oh, now I have more worries and more cares. We all want to be set free, but it's a longing that only Jesus can satisfy. And that's why the joy of point number two, there's no chains that can bind a child of God. There are no chains that can bind a child of God. I love what happens in this story. I can still remember being in Christian school, I don't know, 10 years old maybe, and my dad would do Christian school chapel every day with us. And we would go through, I remember doing the life of David, and I remember going through the book of Acts very clearly. And I always loved this story. I remember it from those days, probably 25 years ago. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 12. Herod he's like, hey, guess what? Guess what? That guy Peter in prison. Time to bring him out. What do you think his plans were? Were they going to have a conversation? I don't think so. I think this was going to be execution time. So Herod thinks, yep, he's been in there a while. I've made everybody sweat long enough. Let's go get old Peter. But in the meantime, the church is doing what? Oh, they're praying. And Peter's totally free. I believe that Peter, he's just following the will. In fact, I know that Peter's following the will of God, because what's he doing when we find him in verse number 6? The same night, Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping, just snoozing away. Who did he learn that sleeping trick from? From who? From Jesus. I just love all these things that you remember from the life of Christ that Peter would have watched. Now, Peter's living a little bit like Jesus. Who would have ever imagined, right? Why? Because he's alive in Christ. He's changed. They're all up on the boat, panicking in a storm, and Jesus is where? Down below, just sleeping. Peter's on death row. His good friend James was just put to death. And he's like, well, boys, all 16 of them all around, I'm going to get me some shut-eye. Peter goes to sleep. And behold, verse number 7. Oh, no, but you got to see this. He's bound with two chains. These disciples had a reputation, I'm telling you. They had a reputation. Because he's got 16 soldiers, two sets of chains on him. And it says, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So he's got 16 soldiers around him, two sets of chains, and then at the door to the prison, there's more than one guard standing there. He's just a preacher. Ex-fisherman turned preacher. We better lock this guy up. And behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. By the way, we sang that song. Long, it's based right on the scripture. The third stanza of And Can It Be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's what happened to Peter. But Peter is so surprised, he wakes up, his chains fall off. Verse 8, the angel says to him, gird thyself. Get your clothes on. Get your coat on. Wrap it all up. Put your shoes on. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast off thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which... That's how my dad did it when I was in Christian school. Which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter's like, man, this is the coolest dream I've had in a really long time. And he's going, and he's like, you know, he lifts up his hands, ching, 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 ching. They all fall off. There's no chains that can hold a child of God. They fall off. The angel says, hey, come on, get dressed. It's like me trying to get my kids out the door, you know. Put your shoes on, let's go. We got somewhere to be. And they start walking out. The guards, they just walk by the guards. They get to the gate. Up, it's like one of those dreams. You know, you're running, and then yep, can't make it. Nope, not this dream, because the gate just opens up. He gets hit with that cold night air, and he realizes, I am free. I have been set free. What an amazing account. I believe that really happened, by the way. We're not reading a fairy tale. This God did that. But in the same way, God wants to set you and I free from the chains that enslave us. I'm not going to take a long time on this point because I think the picture is clear enough in the passage, but I do want to say this. The problem is this. We already said Peter is physically bound but spiritually free, but here's the problem. Christian, do you know Christ? Yes or no? Do you know Christ? If you know Christ, you are what? You're free. But here's the problem. I've discovered in my life, in the life of other Christians, we have a little ritual when we wake up in the morning. We put whatever clothes we're going to wear on for work, we brush our teeth, might grab a cup of coffee, but before we head out the door, we look over in the corner of the house, and there's an old set of chains over there. Do you know what we do sometimes? We pick up the broken chains They're heavy chains. They're open. They're broken. But sometimes we take those chains and what do? We put them back on ourselves. You say, what am I talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about this. The fact that if I am in Christ, I have been set free from everything in my past life. I am set free from the sin that I was involved in. I am set free from the fears that I had. I am set free from habits. I am set free from all of those things. I am free. Nobody can put those chains on me. Nobody can hold those chains on me. But unlike Peter, we say, you know what? I really appreciate that the chains fell off, but I think I'll just hang out in prison a little bit longer. Peter, look, the door, the gate swung wide open. That's really cool. So later on, when I feel like it, I'm going to get up and I'm going to head out the prison door. But right now, this prison cell, think of the absurdity of this. Right now, this prison cell has just gotten a little cozy for me. This prison cell is just, it's a little bit more comfortable. I think I'm going to stay here. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we find in the Scriptures it is possible for a set free, liberated child of God who has the chains. I've got this statement written down in your notes. The chains of the world have no power over us. Do you believe that? I mean, the chains of sin, they have no power over a child of God. But we willingly surrender to them when we refuse to surrender to Christ. The angel says, Peter, come on, let's go. Who do you think you are telling me how to live my life? Makes no sense. It's absurd. But that's us. That's what we do. When we're young, when we're old, at every stage in life, the Word of God says, hey, just submit this area of life to me. And from our prison cell, we look up and say, I'll live my life how I want to live it. And God wasn't dragging Peter out of the prison. Chains fell off, the door swung wide open, the guards were powerless, but Peter still had to do what? He still had to stand up, and he still had to walk and follow. As I thought about this, I was reminded of a hero of modern Christianity. And his name is Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. How many of you have heard of Pastor Wurmbrand? He wrote the book Tortured for Christ. He went home to be with the Lord back in 2001. But Pastor Wurmbrand was a pastor behind the Iron Curtain. When the communism took over Europe, he was one of the faithful Christian preachers. Other pastors, they were told, well, you can keep your church if you'll say what we want you to say and if you'll support the communists. And he wouldn't do that. He would be faithful to Christ. And so they took Pastor Wurmbrand and they put him into prison for years and years and years. If you ever have the opportunity, purchase the small book, Tortured for Christ, and you will be stirred. But in the book and in quotes throughout his life, and he was eventually liberated, came to the West, and the whole movement, Voice of the Martyrs, came out of his testimony. But he said some things about true freedom from somebody who experienced physical incarceration. Listen to what he said. It is not necessary to be at liberty to be pleasing to God. Which commandment could I keep better in freedom than in a prison cell? Why should I move around? The lily stays in its same place and exhales its perfume. I will not ask God to be free. He said, I have found truly jubilant Christians only in the Bible, in the underground church, and in prison. Often after a secret service. Can you imagine that? I mean, 4th of July just passed. Can you imagine meeting in secret for fear of imprisonment? I mean, in the lifetime, many of you were alive during that time. Often, after a secret service, Christians were caught and sent to prison. There, Christians wear chains with the gladness with which a bride wears a precious jewel received from her beloved. Now, that's easy for me to read, but Pastor Wormbrand experienced it and gave the testimony of it. Why? Because he had found the truth of 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, the wonder is this. He had physical chains on his hand, but he was not going to let them bind his spirit. You and I will face circumstances in life, and we will have the choice. Will we let these enslave us, or will we continue to be free in Christ? We can face sickness, yet still be free to give thanks to God. We could face poverty, but still be free to be content in all things. We can come up against any problem. Again, easy to say, it's a challenge to live, but it's true. We can come against any problem and know that it does not have to enslave us because we are free in Christ. So tomorrow morning, we have to make the decision, will I leave the chains where they belong, and will I simply follow Christ in obedience and true freedom? That's the option that we have. Because finally, Jesus can break every chain. Look on your handout, I have Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The world can help you cope with your chain, but the world cannot set us free from our chains. Even religion can unchain you from one and chain you to another, but it can't break the chain. But what we saw with Peter and what we see in our lives is there is a supernatural ability to break chains. There's a popular song the last few years. It's called Chain Breaker. Love it. And it talks about Jesus Christ as the one who breaks the chains. He is a chain breaker. But the question is, will we let him? He has broken them. Do we put them on? It's a supernatural power. What happened is Peter could not have got himself out of that prison. There were a series of inexplainable circumstances that he finds himself outside in the street, and he's like, I have no idea how God did this in my life, but he did. He did. And some of you could go with your testimony. You could say, I mean, I can explain the events, but it was truly a miracle of God's deliverance, how he brought me out of drunkenness or how he brought me out of this sin or that sin, and he set me free. I can tell you that it happened. I can't explain how he did it, but he did it. In fact, it's so amazing that if you read the rest of the story, I'm out of time, so I can't do that, but what happens is he's like, well, I can't just hang out here on the street. So he goes to the place where all the Christians are praying. He goes to where they're praying, and he comes to the door. And he knocks a little louder. And he knocks a little louder. And they're in there, oh God, set Peter free. Set Peter free, Lord. We're claiming power in Jesus' name. Set him free. And Peter's like, Rhoda, go see who's at the door. And she's like, okay. And she runs over the door. She opens the door. Boom, slams the door. You think I'm making this up? Goes back. And like, who's at the door? It's Peter at the door. Peter's at the door. Rhoda, you are crazy. Oh, Lord, set Peter free. Deliver. Be with us in our trouble. Finally, he's knocking so loud, they go, it is Peter. It's him. Not even the Christians. Did they really believe God could set him free from the chains? I think they did, but they're like you and I. We believe he can do it, but it's almost like we don't expect him to do it. We believe he can, but I've seen people before. They have a good start, but, you know, then they fall back. That's a lie of the devil, because you could look at every person that's here and where they are right now. They have been freed from some chain in the past, and they are here today because of something God has done in their life. None of us are complete yet. All of us are still in the process of being set free from this and from that, and there's still chains that we put on. But God can do something that's going to make an impact on people all around us. God can do something that's not just going to change our life, but it's going to be a testimony for other people around us. And the world sometimes gets confused by it. It says in verse number 18, I love the understatement of verse number 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Boy, imagine that. Imagine all the finger pointing going on right there. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he's furious. And he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. You think your boss is hard to work for? And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Herod now goes into a tailspin. You find him at the end of the life. He has a massive stroke or massive heart attack, just drops dead. It's a tragic ending for him. Why? Because he lost control. He lost control. The Bible says that there is joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes to repentance. Do you believe it? I mean, there is joy. There's the old song, go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. But at the same time, I believe that the chorus of hell in its ugly tones cries out, we lost another one. And in all Herod's rage and anger, I'd like to see, you know, a New Testament church that's like the church at Acts is a church that really makes the devil angry and frustrated. Why? Because his prisoners are being loosed. His captives are being set free. But there would have been nothing that would have made Herod happier than for Peter to stay in those chains, and for Peter to have his way, and for Herod to have his way with Peter. And the devil, the enemy, the system of the world wants nothing more. Listen, if you're saved, you are free from hell. That's a big amen right there. You are free from hell. But the devil knows, the enemy knows, that there are still things in your life and in my life that he can control us with. And the Lord's desire is not, young people, the Lord's desire is not to give you a difficult road to walk. The Lord's desire is to set you free from the bondage of the world, to give you a hope and an expectation and a life that is worth living. Yes, it could be faced with difficulty like Peter's, but it's a life of true freedom. But it's usually I like to finish with two questions, but today I only have one question. And that's this: will you surrender to Christ? It's a question each of us has to ask. Really, anytime the Bible is preached, we have to ask ourselves the question, will we surrender to Christ? If you're not a true believer in Jesus, if there's never been a time in your life where you have admitted your sin, and I'm not saying if you're not in church today, but please listen carefully, because you could be in church but not a true believer in Jesus. If you're not a true believer in Christ, has there ever been a time in your life where you have surrendered to Christ and said, Lord, the road I'm walking down is a road to destruction and hell, but I'm going to ask you to forgive my sin. I believe you died and rose again for me. I ask you to forgive my sin, and now my life is yours. That's repentance and faith. That's what the Bible says is required to be a true Christian. A true believer has repented of their sin, my way is the wrong way, and now called out to Christ and is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But you have to surrender to Him in order to be in that place. You have to say, Lord, I'm wrong. You are right. So the question is, if you've never done that, will you surrender your life to Christ to be saved today? You say, well, I already have done that before. Well, praise the Lord. Will you surrender those other chains over in the corner? Will you say, Lord, I will rise and I will follow you and I will walk in freedom? So many people in the room in their late teens and 20s, it's encouraging to see that. It's exciting to see young adults wanting to follow Christ. What's awesome about your stage at life, and I don't, when I do this in the message, I don't want you to think I'm singling you out, but by definition, I'm singling you out. So, but the truth is this. It's such an awesome stage of life because you have the opportunity to, in so many areas of your life, to say, you know what? This part of my life, I'm just going to completely and totally surrender to you, Lord. It's yours. And you never have to experience the chains that have affected so many others. Will we surrender to Jesus, the good and gracious Master? Because you will be someone's servant. The last verse on here, it ends with Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll come to prayer.